Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Lipsky of Break of Day Capital. I talk to leading experts to discuss a wide range of subjects to educate investors on best-in-class practices to build legacy wealth and positively impact communities. Let's jump in. Hey, everyone. We have launched the BODC Multifamily Impact Fund. Invest with a trusted operator with a track record of success. Our fund offers diversification, risk mitigation, tax benefits, and stringent acquisition criteria. If you'd like to learn more, head over to our website at breakofdaycapital.com.
Choosing the right insurance coverage for multifamily properties isn't that complicated, if you know who to talk to. At the Garzella Group, we're uniquely qualified to help you navigate the range of policy choices you have, and we're committed to saving you 30% in the process. We do intensive market research and have nationwide relationships, so we can find coverage other insurance brokers simply can't. We should talk. Go to quotenow.biz, and we'll start the conversation.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Lipsky. Be sure to join our Facebook group, Asset Management Mastery, where we have a great community of thousands of like-minded individuals sharing resources and best practices. Today on the podcast, we have Joe Fang and Adam Drescher from our Break of Day Capital team returning to talk about funds. Welcome back, fellas.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Adam.
Hey, everybody. Joe. Thanks for having us.
So there are a lot of funds choices out there today, and it can get overwhelming for investors. So my intention today is that we talk about the different types of funds to better educate the investors out there listening. So Joe, why don't you start and give a high level overview of what funds are?
Yeah, sure. So at a very basic level, a fund is really just a pooled vehicle. It's basically where investors can pool their capital together and invest in some common strategy, you know, whether it's focused or diversified, and in a way that is cost effective in an efficient manner. So with that, let me give you some examples. Probably the most well-known one are the exchange traded funds, commonly known as the ETFs. And so if you work for a corporate and you have a 401k company retirement plan, you probably have exposure to a variety of ETFs. And basically, these are funds that trade on basically, they own publicly traded stocks, and there's just really just an infinite number of them with, I mean, if you can think of the type of strategy, they probably have it. I mean, you know, the commonly ones that we know of are, you know, large cap versus small cap, you know, US or global. There's even sector specific ones like, you know, for energy, real estate, commodities, Bitcoin even, you know, they just got approved earlier this year. And then even trading vehicles where they're using leverage, you know, like 3 to 5x of a particular index, and even bidding on the markets going down. So the point being is that, you know, there's a lot of different stuff out there. And then just to kind of talk a little bit about another, maybe more alternative assets class that are lesser well known, but there's also the hedge fund world where active managers participate or they employ more sort of the black box or some, you know, esoteric strategy. And they could be something like referred to as being market neutral, where they're basically doing a pair trade where they're betting on something going up and something else going down at the same time so that they can capture, you know, a good return in both good markets and bad markets. And there's also, you know, funds that trade, you know, foreign currencies, interest rate products, you know, just a bunch of macro stuff. And even high frequency trades where they're using algorithms and, you know, basically they're making a couple cents per trade, but they're doing like 1,000 trades a second. You know, you got stuff like that. And then perhaps another well-known funds in the alternative asset space are known as private equity funds. And these are managers that buy private businesses for the cash flows, like it could be like franchises, you know, dental offices, car washes, hospitals. And just kind of to illustrate that even further, Break of Day Capital, you know, we're in the real estate private equity space where we buy large apartment complexes for the cash flows and equity growth.
Awesome. So a really, really high level. And Adam, I'm going to zero in for you and really dive into, for the real estate funds, what are the benefits to invest passively in a fund like that?
Yeah, there's certain enormous benefits of being a passive real estate investor into a private equity real estate fund. The ones that really stick out to me is the first one is really economies of scale. Larger properties always have a lot more meat on the bones than the smaller ones. You also get to really take advantage of the expertise of professional operators. You know, the general partner also handles all the issues, all the headaches, maintenance, repairs, tenant screening. Any issue that arises, the general partner handles it. As a passive investor in a private equity fund too, your liability, it is just limited to the amount you invested. That's where you're capped at. There's also forced appreciation in, you know, private and passive multifamily real estate investing. They can really drive the value by growing the net operating income. There's also huge tax benefits. But the last one I think is one that's really probably the biggest one of all is time. You don't have to waste any of your time dealing with the issues. You really just get, it frees up a lot of your time that you can use in your personal life.
I love it. And I want to reiterate a few of the points that you made, because I see a lot of people, you know, thinking they're investing passively and they're buying single family homes. And like you said, there's zero economies of scale. It does take a lot of time, and you're going to have to deal with the toilets, trash, and tenants at the worst possible time. You're going to get those calls when you're going on vacation, when family is coming over, when you're supposed to do something for your wife. It's never when you have time, when you're sitting around like, oh, I could take a call right now if there's a problem. It's at the worst possible time. So many people think of getting into it passively, and sometimes it can be, rarely. You know, you get a tenant in there for many years and things go smoothly, but typically that's not the case. And so the points that you made are really, really important for someone wanting that freedom of time, putting their money to work. So Joe, you know, as a seasoned investor, who's invested in over 50 deals, what strategy is best for an investor when you're starting to look at all these different, you know, real estate fund types?
Yeah. So, you know, when you invest in real estate, you know, you actually have a lot of options. And before I get into it, let me just take the audience back to finance 101, right? So every asset is either financed by debt or it's by equity. Okay. Well, what that really means is if you pay for something, if you pay for an asset with cash, then you're the 100% owner. So that's equity. Okay. If you're buying something with borrowed money, if you're getting money, if you're getting the cash from a lender, then you're really, you know, taking on debt, right? So it's, and every time we buy assets, it's either one or the other, or it's a combination of both. And that's pretty common, right? So within real estate, you can invest in the debt or you can invest in the equity. Okay. So, you know, the ones our audience might be really familiar with are the fix and flip, you know, the loans, the hard money loans, the private money lending loans for fix and flips, you know, for small developments, you know, these are very common. You basically lend the developer, you know, money to do rehabs on their property, you know, for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months at a time. And, you know, you're basically a lender. And so you're in the debt tranche of the capital stack. There's also common equity, which is your typical syndications and like the impact fund that we have, where you're basically investing alongside the operator as a co-owner and you're participating in all the ups and downs. You know, you're reaping all the economic benefits as well as taking on the potential risk of loss, you know, in the business because you are a co-owner, right? And so there's also, you know, there's nuances everywhere, but there's also a tranche that sits in between debt and equity. You know, one is mezzanine debt and that's more debt-like. And then there's also a preferred equity tranche that's more equity-like. And just for the sake of this podcast, we're just going to focus on preferred equity. But what it is preferred equity is a special part of the common equity stack where you're getting additional rights. And those things are like, you know, priority to receiving the cash flows, the return of capital, you know, in case there's an exit or if there's, you know, God forbid, a liquidation, the preferred equity tranche will get their capital as well as cash flows back first before the common equity, before the regular owners. But there's a trade-off, you know, just like with everything in life, there's a trade-off, right? By reducing the risk of your investment, you are also agreeing to take a reduced return. Most of the time, it's a fixed return. So you're taking on a fixed return that is still very attractive, but you have reduced risk versus, you know, a regular owner that has unlimited upside, but could potentially lose everything.
Those are really good points because, you know, when people look at their portfolio, you want to be kind of diversified. If you're younger, maybe you're going for more risk. If you're older, you maybe want to be more safe, you know, depending upon what you have going on in your life too. I've got a friend who's got three kids going to college next year. And so, you know, he obviously can't have as high of a risk profile for it. So he's looking for something maybe in that pref equity side of things where it maybe it's not as high a return, but certainly he feels more confident with the cash flow that he needs and where he sits in the cap stack. Adam, why don't you talk about the different funds that from a high level view that we offer?
Yeah, sure. No, that's a great segue into our different offerings right now. And what Joe was talking about is, you know, the different, you know, where people stack the returns. You know, for us, you know, we have an impact fund, which is, you know, going over what Joe did, you know, the common equity, where there's a lot more upside potential. I mean, it's theoretically unlimited upside potential, but you know, the one issue with it is your capital is locked up for the duration until each property is sold. So as you talked about your friend who was, you know, doesn't like all that per se, you know, wants a little bit, you know, steady, consistent returns. You know, we have the preferred income fund, which is launching next month, where you're in that preferred equity tranche that Joe was talking about. So you're ahead of the common equity when it comes to distributions. You will get consistent monthly distributions. There's no fees, no expenses. And the good part is the 45-day liquidity. So in the beginning of the month, if you do believe you're going to need your capital back, you can give notice and within 45 days, get the capital back, unlike other passive investments where your money is tied up for the duration.
And you made a good point on the liquidity piece because some you'll probably find pref equity funds that may pay a little bit more, but it could be locked up 3 to 5 years. So again, it's different flavors for different needs. And that liquidity piece is incredibly important for some people. A great place to park your cash in between deals, or depending upon, hey, you might buy a house in a year, year and a half, or again, kids going to college, whatever it is. If you need that liquidity piece, that's so incredibly important to invest in the right vehicle, because if you don't, you may be waiting 5, 10 years. And quite honestly, you could be screwed if you invest in the wrong opportunity.
For sure.
So Joe, why don't you, you know, based on your experience of investing in all these different funds, if you want to add anything more about, you know, different strategies investors should take.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I am particularly very excited about our income fund because there is that redemption opportunity or option. I think, Gary, if you, you know, I think you remember that, you know, I'm in a bunch of different accredited investor private clubs. And one of the topics that comes up consistently is what to do with your money in between deals, right? So, you know, a few years ago, it was really annoying because, you know, you're getting like a couple percent, you know, sitting in savings accounts while you're waiting for the 15 to 20% IRR deals. I mean, you know, in the past year, the money market funds, you know, are returning something a little bit more respectable at 4.5, you know, sort of the sub 5% range. But, you know, to be quite honest, that's still not even helping to beat inflation. You know, in the unofficial inflation rate of from different sources is more like 12%. So unless you're earning, you know, close to that, it's just, you can't really do that long term. So there is a market demand, you know, for this kind of product where you're going to be earning above average returns with this really nice, you know, redemption option. But furthermore, the investment is actually secured by real estate. It's backed by hard assets and it's over collateral, you know, so it's not like you're hoping that you don't have to depend on someone's promise, right? There's actually real assets backing this. And so for us active passive investors, you know, as Jeremy Rowe would call it, we've been wanting something like this for the longest time. On a different note, from our own investors, the request for a product like this was mainly due to the fact that, you know, there are people that are nearing their retirement age, or, you know, they have quite a bit of a capital base to work from. And they're not necessarily, you know, looking to hit home runs and, you know, wanting that 20-30%, you know, equity growth. You know, they're happy with a consistent monthly return. And this is a vehicle that, frankly, they've been asking for. And they actually didn't even care about the liquidity piece. But the fact that we can give them back their money, you know, and at such a short notice, you know, it really helps with their estate planning as well.
Adam, anything you wanted to add?
No, I think Joe pretty much summed it up best about how solid a return that is and liquidity factor. I mean, I think also what I think is really important too is, you know, getting a steady 8% return with no fees, no expenses. I mean, a lot of these other investment tools out there, they'll say the return is 12%, but the hedge fund takes 20%. So that 12% quickly becomes 8%. So this is, you know, an 8% backed by hard assets with, as I said, no fees, no expenses. So the 8% that's advertised, you get.
Yeah, that's nice and clean. There's so many investment decks out there with, you know, forget to leave out the fees or all the other hidden junk. You know, like when you buy a box of cereal and you don't know half the ingredients, you know, it's like one of those things. But this is, yeah, like you said, no fees, no expenses. You know, everything is, you know exactly how much you're going to make. You can count on that, which is so huge, particularly in today's economy.
Yeah, Gary, I was going to say that, you know, even those people that want income and liquidity, you know, sometimes they'll go into the publicly traded REITs, the real estate investment trust. But the problem with those and anybody who's invested in those over the last 2 years, they'll see that those can actually be quite volatile, you know, depending on what asset classes you were invested in. I mean, we saw haircuts, you know, anywhere from 30 to 70% of your capital, right? So again, you know, to be able to take something that is inherently illiquid and making it pretty liquid is not the easiest thing to do, but, you know, it can be done, you know, and this is the holy grail in our opinion.
Well, awesome, guys. So we covered different types of funds like hedge and ETFs and private equity, narrowed it down to the real estate private equity types of funds. And then we talked about, you know, what fund may be best for your current situation. You guys provide a ton of value. Thanks again for joining me. If anyone is interested, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
Sure. The best way to get in touch with me is by email or phone. I can be emailed at adam@breakofdaycapital.com, or my telephone number is 602-529-2056.
Awesome. And Joe, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, do you want to give your email or?
Yeah. I'm at joseph@breakofdaycapital.com. Number is 850-888-3816.
All right. Well, thanks again, guys. Talking about funds. This is Gary Lipsky signing off. I'll be back next week with another informative episode on the Real Estate Investor Podcast. To all of our listeners, thanks for joining us. And if you like this episode, please head over to iTunes or Stitcher and like, subscribe, and leave a review, as it will help us reach more people. And if you'd like to learn more about what we do at Break of Day Capital, head over to our website at breakofdaycapital.com and sign up for our newsletter and fill out our investor application. We'll talk to you next week.